This is a great text. This is really exciting. It's filled with drama and suspense and delightful surprise after delightful surprise. The two disciples are walking along the road, downcast, away from Jerusalem. And then there's the risen Christ walking with them, even though they know it not. Their hearts are heavy as they tell the unrecognized Savior about their griefs and fears concerning all the events, the suffering and death of the one that they had hoped was going to redeem Israel. You can hardly stand the suspense. And then Jesus begins to teach them from the scriptures, and he pretends he's going to go further, and they say, "Oh, stay with us." And he says, "Okay, I will." Unexpected joy is lurking around every corner. When will it hit him and knock him over? It's like Hollywood. And then he breaks the bread. It doesn't get any better than this. How Lutheran can you be? Their hearts are burning as he opens the scriptures to them on the road. There is drama and suspense and delight around every corner. And how we would like to be like those disciples. It's not that our lives have no drama, no suspense, no delight. There's some, some. But there's a lot of ordinary living going on around here, and now we're back at it. 2 days after Easter, we're back at it. Same old, back to work at Concordia Seminary. And would you believe it? I actually know for a fact that at least one course on this campus has a paper due tomorrow, for crying out loud. Same old, same old. And we sure would like to be in the sandals of those Emmaus disciples. Yes, we sure would. But if I stood in this pulpit and told you that this text invites us to count on that kind of excitement, that kind of drama and delight, then I would be lying like a rug. Because we're not in the text, we're outside of it. We're the hearers, the listeners, the readers. And the text does have a message for us, but it's not a new, surprising message. And therein lies the danger for us, even already now, the second day after Easter. There is a danger that lies before us, ever before us, at this place, oddly enough, where all that we do in one way or another, all that we do connects somehow to Easter, to the risen, reigning Christ and his kingdom that has come and that will come. The danger is not that our eyes would be kept from seeing him or that we would be blind to Easter truth. It's that our eyes might glaze over, so that even as we see, we do not see, and even as we learn, we are somehow failing to know. As C.S. Lewis taught me so long ago, it is much more likely that the ordinary distractions of life, the routines of life, the routineness of life, that might distract us and keep us from faith and joy. Because there's work, preparing for classes, reading books, learning stuff. Man, it gets old. And then there are those irritating faculty members, whether they are to us colleagues or teachers. Amazingly easy to criticize them. And then there are those students, whether they are under our charge or our peers, stupid and immature, and they just can't see the big picture that I want them to see. You ever notice how that's always the other person's problem, that they can't see the big picture that I want them to see? And then there are those assignments, being forced to study the Bible, the confessions of the church, in a disciplined way, boring, and I'm tired and have another field ed report to do. And then there's family and work. And life is just always the same, and it doesn't have many surprises. Ugh! Why won't they just leave me alone and let me go on misinterpreting my experience, my everyday, ordinary experience, so I can go on ignoring the truth that I already know and that I can already see? See, the message of the text is not hard for us. It's right there, right at the surface. But I have to be ready to hear it. That's kind of what we've actually been doing now for a couple of minutes, getting ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? You already know it. It's no surprise, nothing new. But it's amazingly easy to miss. The message of the text: Christ is risen indeed. He has risen into glory. He has risen through the Father's approval and vindication. He has risen to intercede for you, to forgive your sins. It's a fact, even when people don't know it. It's a fact, even when people don't believe it. It's the truth, as hard as a rock, harder than the rock that blocked the door of the tomb. It's the truth, as plain as day, as brighter than the dawn on that first day of the week. God has done it. Today and every day, He is risen indeed. And there is peace, and there is the forgiveness of sins, and there is hope for the day when, just as in Christ sin and evil are completely overcome, so it will be for you and for me. We will rise. We will rise indeed. The message of the text: for the Christ to suffer these things and thus to enter into his glory was necessary. Why? Why was it necessary? For the same reason that in the parable of the prodigal son, it was necessary for the Father to be glad and rejoice. The same divine necessity in which Jesus called down Zacchaeus from that sycamore tree because he had to go to his house that day. Why was it necessary? Because the Father loved that prodigal son with an everlasting love. And when no one else would love Zacchaeus the tax gatherer, Jesus did. And so also does he love you this very day. That love that he has for you took him to the cross so that he could be numbered among the transgressors for you and me. The God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who controls the courses of the nations, the God who has made this day and brought us to it, that God loves you. It's his nature. He can't be changed. And so to rescue you and to make you his own, it was necessary that the Christ should suffer, because he loves you. The message of the text: Jesus calls his disciples to share a table fellowship with him. You know, you can almost call Luke's gospel the story of the banquet. Over and over and over, Jesus invites outcasts and sinners to come to him, to share the table of acceptance and welcoming with him. And in the 22nd of his chapter of his gospel, Luke recounts that Jesus gave to his disciples a meal at which he will be both host and food. And now, as the gospel ends, the risen Christ renews table fellowship with his disciples. It's a move he'd made before, and they recognize him. And there we may see him as well. It's not new, this message, but it's true that in the Eucharist we meet with Jesus, and we know him as the one who has loved us and called us to be his own and given us a work to do. And there is work to do. For a time, the work is done here. Some few are called to linger. Most move on to other places. Oh, and we'll find out about that around April 21st, won't we? And then life will be changed, and it'll be exciting, and there'll be delights and surprises for a while. And then life will become ordinary again. But this will never change. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. His love is for you. The Holy Scriptures reveal him to us, and we may know him in the bread and the wine. I say, let those disciples have the surprises, just as it was appointed for them. For this day, the same old news is good news once again. For us, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.